Coming up on Tech Nation, our production team goes to Las Vegas, Nevada, and CES 2017. It's the 50th anniversary of the largest consumer technology show anywhere, currently hosting some 170,000 attendees and 2.5 million square feet of exhibit space. It's a small city unto itself. We'll hear about the cutting edge, from cars to appliances to everything new in the Internet of Things. And we'll hear about the journey of an entrepreneur, the ups, the downs, and what it takes to be successful. All this coming up on this week's Tech Nation.
Let's take five with Moira Gunn. This is 5 Minutes.
Who could be lonely when you own a refrigerator? I don't mean for the comfort of food. I mean for the fact that I saw refrigerators at the big CES consumer technology show that understood voice commands. There were also cameras inside, so you could see what's in there from anywhere using your smartphone. You can also ask questions and give orders, and you probably don't even have to be nice. But real friends are different. Generally, you have to be nice to them, or they will go away, as they should. CES is the place every year where new technology comes to say, "Hey, I'm here, and I have brand new features like you wouldn't believe." From refrigerators to cars to computers and more, it's anything that relates to consumer technology. There are entrepreneurs and businesses looking to attract media attention, investments, partners, and more. Still, this is a road best traveled by the strong. You can get here only to find out someone else has already produced your product, a chilling proposition. It may have lesser features, but a better name, or be a huge global company, or most depressing, they have really great show giveaways. People come to your booth holding them in their hand and walk away after eyeing your lowly bowl of hard candy. Worse, your budget-busting tchotchke just doesn't make the cut. Shaking off the competition is as hard at a show as it is reminding yourself that it's just a show. The demo works, but how healthy is the business? In today's world, it doesn't even need to be a real product. They tell you straight up, order it online, and when we get enough orders, we'll make our first batch of serial number ones. If it doesn't quite work the way it's advertised, you get a great deal on serial number two. But don't think this is snake oil. It's proven to be a valid way of doing business in these days of the internet. When the going gets tough, the tough rethink, revamp, re-strategize, and in today's vernacular, they pivot. They reframe what's going on. Someone big also building your product, they could buy you lock, stock, and barrel. Someone also tiny has a better feature, jump on it. You can make that feature. Maybe they didn't patent it, and maybe you can. Others may already have a better connection with consumers. Find yourself a successful business with a completely different product line, and quick as a rabbit, you add your product to theirs. But let's get back to our friend, the refrigerator. The fact that brand new technology appears each and every year at CES doesn't mean it's all useful. A few years back, the hot tech was all about curved TV screens. Since then, the only place I've seen them has been in casinos, rotated 90 degrees over slot machines, and delivering dazzling graphics to both the winners and losers alike. And the voice command fridges with the inside cameras? Well, the demo showed the neatest refrigerators I've ever seen in my life. For those of us who open our refrigerator doors and the light from the single light bulb is only a rumor, no worries. New tech is being built all the time. We'll adopt what works for us and leave behind what doesn't. and with or without cameras and voice command, the refrigerator can still be your friend. Just make sure it's not your date on Saturday night. I'm Moira Gunn. This is 5 Minutes.
Five Minutes is produced at the studios of KQED-FM in San Francisco. 5 Minutes is a production of Tech Nation Media. I'm Paul Lancour.
From Las Vegas, Nevada, in CES 2017, I'm Moira Gunn, and this is Tech Nation. Today on Tech Nation, it's all about the incredible world of emerging consumer technology products, all converging at CES 2017 in Las Vegas, Nevada. For 1 week, 2,800 exhibits and 170,000 attendees fill every hotel and every spot in and around the convention center. Walking miles to attempt to cover it all is only the beginning. CES celebrates its 50th year, and I was able to speak with Jim Barry, the Consumer Technology Association's longtime spokesperson, who will tell us how products have changed over that half century. It will be easy to see the evolution of the consumer tech which inhabits our lives, past, present, and future. I'll also speak with Andrew Thomas, the co-founder and chief revenue officer for Skybell, who, in addition, writes the Mindful Entrepreneur blog for Inc. magazine. He'll tell us Skybell's story, as well as his personal story, moving from a person dissatisfied with his work life and career, and the moving down the road to becoming an entrepreneur. For an overview of what CES has been and is today, we turn to Jim Barry, whose first appearance on Tech Nation was in 2004. His job as spokesperson for the Consumer Technology Association has grown over the years, along with the industry, which means he has more and more to talk about each and every year. Jim, here we are at CES 2017 in Las Vegas. Welcome. It's good to see you again.
I know. It's nice to be back with you, Moira. Always a pleasure.
Now tell us about CES 2017.
2017. This is the 50th anniversary of CES, which is really remarkable when you think about it. Think of other things that have come and gone in the last 50 years, including things in the electronics industry. But the first one was 1967 in New York. There were about 120 exhibits for about 17,000 people over the course of it.
Which was a pretty big deal.
Which was a big show. I mean, that's still a big show. A 17,000, 20,000 person trade show is pretty much a good size show. But the new stuff back then, you had 8-track tapes and you had cassette tapes and you had color TV. They were still showing a lot of black and white TV back then. So that transition was still in progress. And then moved to Chicago, which was supposed to be initially, actually, but there was a McCormick Place actually burned down before they could still have their first show. So that in New York for a couple of years. And then Chicago. Came here to Las Vegas, the winter show, after having a couple of winter shows in Chicago. And they said,
you want to know better.
Whoa, Michigan Avenue, January, I don't think so. So they came here to Las Vegas, and the first one here was 78. Been here ever since. For a number of years, there were two shows, and the pace of the industry really changed. You know, that June show, when it started, was retailers would come, and they'd see what they were going to put on the store shelves later in the year. But you know, that started getting earlier and earlier, and then there were the two shows, and then the June show faded out in the mid-90s. So there's been the one big show here in January in Las Vegas, which has grown and grown and grown, even as some other shows, computer-centric ones, went away, mostly because all of the technology that used to be in a desktop computer, well, first in a big mainframe, then in a mini computer, then in a desktop computer, is in our pockets and our purses today. It's everywhere. It's in this Internet of Things or Internet of Everything. It's in our kitchens. It's in our cars. Now we have a show this year that's all about connections, connected cars, connected homes, connected pockets and purses.
And I'll tell you, I really, 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 really like the refrigerator cam.
Mm.
It's a camera inside your refrigerator.
Yeah.
So you're in the store and you're like, do I have mayonnaise or whatever it is? You get out your You get out your
and check it out.
Your smartphone and say, ooh, and we're also out of milk.
Yeah.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. That would be nice. And they have the ones also with the little readers on them so it can tell you. Actually, you can adjust it. So if that milk gets down to a third, let's say, it will automatically notify you. Or it can notify Peapod or some other shopping
service.
It'll
show up on your doorstep.
Right. And there it is. So all of those things have really led to this show this year is going to be the biggest ever. We're going to have 2.6 million net square feet of exhibit space. That's 45 football fields. And you and I know, walking some of it, I mean, it's big. It's really big.
It's really big.
It takes over all of Las Vegas, over 3,800 exhibits. About 170,000 people, give or take, from all over the world, more than 50,000 of them from other countries. And some people forget that this is a trade show. It's business people. It's not open to the public. So that really means that everybody in the industry, with any interest in the industry, in what technology is doing, is here in Las Vegas in January.
I was just mentioning the refrigerator cam.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me two or three of your favorite technologies that popped up this year.
Well, there's a couple of things happening here. One, we talked about the connections. One is, you know, this has become a big car show as well.
Yes.
The connected cars. So we have electric cars. We have autonomous vehicles for those of us who like to say, a car that drives itself. And they actually now, you know, the big Detroit Car Show, International Car Show, is just in a couple of weeks. But some of the companies will come here to introduce cars. We got 9 of the top automakers here. They're giving keynote speeches, Nissan, Ford. And the other night, Faraday, this new company with a new electric car, introduced their new car, which will be out next year, 2018. One of the neatest aspects of that was they demonstrated something called the driverless valet, where you can drive up to a restaurant, let's say, and you get out of your car and send it, and it will find the parking space on its own. Then you can call it back. It's kind of like calling the horse back from the barn in the 120 years ago. So that I thought was really neat. And all of the electric cars and all of the new cars with all sorts of autonomous aspects to it. You know, if you buy any new car these days, most any new car, you're going to have some things in it, like some of them will have the parallel parking built in. Some of them will have the lane change notifications. So they're starting to build that into more. Those are all elements of the autonomous vehicle. The other thing I find really interesting about that is how that is meshing with some of the other things that are growing in the last several years, like the sharing economy. So Uber is testing their autonomous Ubers in Pittsburgh right now. So you could call one and it might not have a driver in it. Some of my friends said, well, I'd be a little worried about getting a car without a driver. And to some of my friends, I would say, I'd be just as happy with that as having you drive.
Yeah, really. There's some strange things going on there.
I know.
But I have to tell you that the joke in the press room is, it used to be they say, hey, would you like to drive one of our cars?
Right.
Now they'd say, would you like to have one of our cars drive you around?
I know.
Things have changed.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Things have changed dramatically.
That is really – so that's really cool. So I like that part of it. I like the whole auto show part of this that's developed over the last couple of years. The other thing that I see is all the smart home devices, you know, lots of great smart home devices. The other thing that I find really interesting, and we see it in more and more specific applications, is this combination of voice recognition with artificial intelligence. Two of the hardest things to do in all of computing, just because of, you know, artificial intelligence, there's just so much to know. And the voice recognition, you and I speak differently. We're both speaking English, but we're different parts of the country. You get dialects, you get accents, all the rest of that. Then you get different languages and so forth. So voice recognition is very hard. But it's gotten so good just in the last 2 or 3 years, we now have the Echo, the Alexa phenomenon with the Amazon Echo. Echo, the Google Home, Hey Google, that phenomenon. So that's really started to take hold. Here at the show, you see that just about everywhere. Everyone's talking about how easy that is to use voice recognition to say, oh, turn up the light, turn down the lights, turn up the heat, turn down the heat, all of those things. So I think,
I'm seeing a lot of, well, it can do voice, it can do hand gestures, it
right.
can do, you can type, you can do, and so multiple ways to deal simultaneously.
Exactly.
And just, you don't have to choose. You just do whatever comes naturally.
Right. And, you know, for some folks, I was with some folks yesterday who were putting together some things for folks with some sort of disability. And we're talking about how maybe you're not as manually dexterous as you once were. So the voice recognition really comes in handy there. And there's lots of different ways that all of this stuff is working that makes things easier for a lot of us, but actually makes things able to be done for some people who might not have been able to do it in the past. So I find that, I think that's one of the really big things we're going to see here is that is the application of that technology spreading out further. The other thing I would say about this show is that we're seeing more, you know, it's not just about the gadgets anymore. It's about the what we do with them and the different marketplaces that we have here, like the health and fitness, like the family tech, all of the different ways that we use this technology is coming more and more to the fore, and we see all of that here at the show.
And there's no gadget that stands alone. Everything's connected to something else.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, you know, that's terrific. And it raises, you know, the next generation of those different devices we were just talking about, and especially the voice recognition and all that, are robots. We see a lot of robots here, you know. So that is one of those. And you look at some of those. Someone was talking about some different movies they were talking about and Jetsons and stuff. I always can't help but think of Sleeper, Woody Allen's movie with the robots in that. But we see more. We have robots here that will play chess. We have robots. They have a barista robot they were showing make your coffee.
Yeah.
I think I'd like to sign up for that one. We're seeing more and more of those. And then the smart device, so-called smart devices. You know, we have smart beds. The sleep number people have a smart bed.
There's a whole section with different beds from different manufacturers.
Right.
And they're like, well, what could – they all look like beds. And they go, what do we turn them on?
Yeah, sleep tech, there's this whole section. And that's exactly what my initial thought would be. Well, what are they going to do? Well, the one has one thing I'd really like, has like a foot warmer. I like that. But the other one has one that I think my bride would like even more. It has a snore detector. So it would, like the sleep number, it will adjust it if you happen to be snoring. So I know some people who would like that. A lot.
Beats are rolling over and punching.
Exactly. So that's another whole area, the sleep tech that has grown out of the applications of these different technologies and this Internet of Things or Internet of Everything.
Certainly coming up big is digital health.
Oh, yeah.
Coming on fast.
Right, right.
And some of it is the Internet of You. Everything you that could happen about you connects mm-hmm. to everything else. But there are many things in this digital health area.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I like to think of it as the kind of stuff that you used to have to go to the doctor's office or the hospital to get done. Now you can have done yourself with these different sensors, you know, the EKGs. They have a new EKG that they were showing here. And you can just send that information wirelessly to your smartphone or tablet and then share it with your physician, not have to get out and go to the doctor. And again, this one, these are the things that one of the, you know, the conference sessions that they have here, one of the big ones that people talk about is cybersecurity.
Right.
And for most of us, the two things you really worry about are your health information and your money, right?
Yeah.
And those are the two things you want to protect more than anything else. So that is as you start storing more stuff in the cloud, sending this stuff back and forth, it's important. That's one of the things that I always tell people, just to get off on a quick tangent on this security stuff, to use the security, the elements of security that come with the products you have. You'd be surprised, the number of people who don't use the basic security passwords for their home Wi-Fi network. Or if they do, they use password. You know, or the most
1111111.
Right.
The very popular
stuff. So use the basic stuff. And when you start doing smart devices and around your house, read up on what they have and know what kind of protocols that they use for that as well.
It has to be a lot harder for you to try to get your arms around the show every year.
Oh, yeah.
It was before, and you always knew you could go to Jim Barry. Jim and say, oh, we got this, we got this, we got this.
Yeah.
And we're still doing that, but
yeah.
You come in early. You've been studying it for
right.
a while.
Yeah.
And, okay, you got your hand. You know, how do you have your hands on 2,800 exhibits?
Yeah. Well, it's hard. And part of it is what I tell people. And I was talking to somebody this morning about doing radio interviews. I do a lot of live ones back East Coast. So it's 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm on with somebody on the East Coast. And they've all seen all this coverage now on the internet and so forth. So they want to talk about specific products. And I said, well, you know, I haven't seen that one yet. You know, that can be pretty
tough. I'll get over there.
Yeah. But
I'll walk a couple of miles.
But one of the things that I tell, you know, we have a bunch of new folks at CTA this year here for their first show. And there's a couple of things you got to do always. The basic things are hydration, you're in the desert, sensible shoes, but also focus. You have to decide what it is you want to get done, what you want to see. This is true for the business people here. What meetings do you want to have? You know, the average person here, showgoer, has 33 business meetings. So that's a pretty good couple of days
yes.
during the show. And think of all the money they save. These people come from all over the world. They can do all that right here rather than traveling around the world to do that. And the last thing I tell people, the fourth thing would be leave a little room for serendipity, for walking the show whenever you can, whatever you can get to, just to see what you weren't expecting. I get asked a lot, what are you really looking for? I said, I'm looking for the thing that I wasn't expecting to see, and you don't know what it is. And the one place you know you can find that is over here in this area, Tech West, is a place called Eureka Park, which we started in 2012 with 50 companies. And when I say companies, that's very loosely said because in
they
many
have matching
cases,
T-shirts.
In many cases, it's a guy and a gal or two guys or two gals who have an idea for a better electronic mouse trap, and they come here, they get a really good deal for one of these little booths in Eureka Park, which, like I said, was 50 people 5 years ago this year, 50 companies this year at 600. And they're all looking. They're not here like the big companies are talking to their dealers and distributors and stuff. They're looking for financial backing. They're looking. The Shark Tank people are here, for instance.
Yeah.
This is they're
interviewing people today.
I know.
Like, are we going to qualify you? We're going to qualify you. Yeah.
And they're dreaming to be the next one of that little company that was here just about 3, maybe 4 years ago that had fewer than 20 people, I think, and they had this new virtual reality headset, a company called Oculus Rift. And they were noticed, all right. They were purchased by Facebook for $2
billion. Unbelievable.
So that's kind of the dream of these guys. Most of them won't. A lot of them will have products that never make it to market. Some of them will. They have a lot out of universities. It's really exciting. It's kind of it's really the soul of what CES always been about, innovation.
And combining your synchronicity
mm-hmm.
with the start at Eureka Park.
Yeah.
We were standing in line today getting our coffee in advance of starting the day. And there's always seems to be a line here and
yeah,
there. They
yeah.
go fast, but there's
yeah,
a line.
There's always a line.
And we started joking with the fellow in front of us, and turned out he was here at the first Eureka Park. And no, he's not back in Eureka Park because now right. he's got $100 million company. And
nice.
So he's going to come on. We're going to talk about what that
oh,
is,
great.
What that is like. It does help. It does produce. We got to get them early in that innovation stage,
yeah.
early in that entrepreneurship stage, nurse them along.
Yeah.
And it's a success. Maybe all you did in that first one was learn how to become an entrepreneur.
Right.
But we didn't do that before. You had to sort of already have delivered, you know, and then
I know.
You could be here. Not anymore.
I know.
It's really, really changing the game.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was walking Eureka Park yesterday, and there's two whole rows, and it just says University Innovations.
Yeah.
It's like, this is unspecified. Universities produce a tremendous amount of innovation.
Oh, yeah.
It's National Science Foundation is here.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
it's like, what? You know, what are they doing here? Yeah. Well, they fund ideas and projects that have never been thought of before. They want to be out in front.
I know. Yeah.
So there's such a – we're way beyond gadgets.
Yeah, yeah. This is you're absolutely right. This is really an incubator for innovation. And everybody's here. That's the other thing, that everybody in the industry is here. People lots of folks occasionally focus on who's not exhibiting. You know, so-and-so is not exhibiting at this show. Well – everybody's here, though, even if they're not exhibiting. Companies come and go. I've been coming to the show for almost 40 years now, and I've seen companies come and go at the show, even if they're still in business, because they have different business objectives that particular year. But it's I still find it exciting. It's a great place to be. I really enjoy it, and it's where the action is. And for those of us who've been coming for a number of years, it's always nice to see folks like you, people that we've seen over the years. It's great.
Jim Berry is spokesperson for the Consumer Technology Association. More information can be found on the web at cta.tech. As I mentioned to Jim, I did meet an interesting fellow in the coffee line this morning. It happened that he just had an appointment cancel, and so it all worked out, serendipitously, as Jim would say. He's Andrew Thomas, co-founder and chief revenue officer at Skybell. I asked him, pretty much everyone who has a front door has a doorbell. What's so big about doorbells?
You know, there wasn't many things that were big about doorbells. It's something that nobody ever really talks about. And that's kind of where we saw some opportunity. We just started complaining about not being able to know who's at your door while you're gone, or having to stop like family dinners to answer the door for solicitors. And, you know, my co-founder just said, why don't we have a video camera that we can talk to people? And, you know, we always have our cell phones on us 24/7. Why can't we look through our cell phones like a digital peephole? And we looked around and no one was doing anything. So we said, okay, it's time for the doorbell to have its revolution. And we just set out to do it. So it's a good spot on the home that nobody was really thinking about.
So I'm looking at your doorbell here, and I guess they're in a 100,000 plus doors all over the world. And it's really kind of interesting. It's just, it's like, well, gee, it doesn't look like a big modern device. It's got a, you know, you can figure out where to push. And then it's got two other, one is sort of a round hole and the other is a little white dot. It's like pretty innocuous, but it's not innocuous, is it?
No, but we tried to make it as innocuous as possible so that it wouldn't draw unnecessary attention. And that's kind of the mystique around the product, is nobody realizes.
Yeah, where's your big label? Where's your big Intel inside?
Exactly.
Oh, no.
You know, and the circle part on the top is a high definition video camera that shoots 1080p HD quality video that has a wide angle lens. You can see your whole front door. And that bottom part you mentioned is a motion sensor. So if someone is standing in front of your door and they don't press the doorbell, or they knock, let's say, Skybell will still alert you that that person is there, and then you can see them and say, can I help you? And sometimes that's as innocent as somebody knocking, and sometimes that's more alarming when someone's, you know, maybe looking through your windows or your door to see if you're home. So whether it's, you know, convenience or security, either way, you're going to know that someone's at your front door.
I'm speaking with Andrew Thomas, co-founder and chief revenue officer at Skybell. We'll talk more after a break. Podcasts of Tech Nation and Biotech Nation are available at iTunes, Stitcher, and other podcast syndication outlets. Coming up in the second half of our show, more on the nature of entrepreneurship from CES 2017 in Las Vegas. Stay with us. Thank you. You are listening to Tech Nation from CES 2017 in Las Vegas, Nevada. I've been speaking with Andrew Thomas, co-founder and chief revenue officer at Skybell. Now, the trick in San Francisco for people who want to sort of break into your home is they run up because you can't see from the street where people are, and they hit your doorbell, and then they go down and kind of look and see if anybody answers the door. With this, you'd have them on video.
You're exactly right. So people don't realize this. You're more likely to get burglarized during the day when you're at work, and they go to the front door and ring the doorbell to see if you're home. And if you're home, they're not going to come in. They, you know, it's a crime of convenience, right? And so with Skybell, they don't see, you know, they don't see you. You can see them, but they can't see you. So you can pretend to be home even though you're at work, and it just helps you, again, have the awareness of what's happening at your front door, but you can take action. So when this burglar is there, yes, they've already been recorded. So now they're you know, you have a record of them being there, which they don't like. And then now you're able to disguise your presence. And it's worked brilliantly. So one of the stories I was going to mention is we had a couple in Europe. They were on vacation in Europe. They live in the United States. And they have a Skybell. And a suspicious guy went to their front door. And they were able to see him on their app through their phone. And she said, "Can I help you?" And he said, "Oh, you know, we're going around the neighborhood just checking on homes, you know." And she said, "Well, everything's good here. I'm inside cooking dinner with my husband. So, you know, have a nice night." And he believed them. He didn't want to walk into a house with two people cooking dinner. So he ended up walking across the street and robbing their neighbor. So from Europe, they actually walked a burglar off their porch, which home security systems are great, but traditionally they don't allow you to prevent the burglary in the first place. So we're very grateful for those types of stories that we hear from our customers. It's amazing to think that we created a product that is helping people, you know, protect their families and make a safer neighborhood.
Well, frequently when I'm in at night, I mean, my front door is dark. You know, what if they come up when it's dark?
Well, what's great about Skybell is even if it's, you know, pitch black, we have full color night vision. So we can actually project enough light. Our camera has a sensor on it that allows enough light in just from the ambient light to show you a full color picture at night. So you can be absolutely sure you know who's at that door. And then what's great is you can talk through it at any time. So if there's somebody, you know, someone's there who's not supposed to be there, you can say, "Can I help you?" And they'll usually just run off. So it's a great tool.
So, okay, you were talking about the app here. So someone rings your doorbell, and then it's tied into the app, but let's stop there. I have an old house. It's got this great old doorbell. It's like there's even a little niche. It's all carved. It's, you know, it's an old house. Doorbells were big. Status symbols, though, you know, the more chimes you had and all of that. Do I have to throw away my doorbell?
You don't. You don't. So we designed it so all you need to do is detach the button at the front door. And then those same two wires that are likely at your front door now attach directly to the Skybell. So it takes about 10 or 15 minutes to replace your old one with the new Skybell. And what's nice about that is when someone presses the button for Skybell, it still rings the chime in your house. So you can still get that old school benefit of hearing the ding dong in your house. And then what's cool is it's all digital now. So what we could also do is we have a setting called silent mode where parents can actually turn off the chime inside the house for making noise so that when their babies are sleeping and napping, that someone who comes to the front door and presses the doorbell won't wake up the baby.
Wake up your iPhone or your smartphone, but not the baby.
Exactly. Exactly.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you.
That's... We made a couple friends with that feature. Yeah.
For sure. Okay. So now I have my app and it alerts you somehow. You get to say it buzzes, or you get to actually say ding dong, or, you know, I'm sure you have all the options we always do on these phones. And then you actually, does it just bring up what your video camera is seeing there? And I mean, literally, you have no idea there's a video camera in here. I'm looking at it and I'm surprised. You know, this thing weighs a couple ounces. You know, when you put it on here, I wanted to say on the table, I wanted to say, you know, we really don't let people record us. You know, we'll send you something. And I realized this isn't a little recorder. This is the doorbell.
You know? Isn't it? It's pretty wild, huh, when you think about it.
And it's like, it's absolutely, you know, you can't say, "Oh, it's a Skybell. I know what it's doing." It's like, no, it's just a little... It's totally, you know, stealth. Exactly. It's very under the radar. And so so beware of all doorbells. You don't know what they're doing anymore.
Exactly.
All doorbells could be bad. But anyway, so I'm going to take my smartphone, and I'm actually going to be able to look at this wide-angle lens of who's in front of my door.
Yeah, so we'll walk through the whole circumstance. So someone approaches your house, they walk up to the sky belt, and they press the button. So at that moment, we send a push notification to your phone, just like Facebook does or your calendar updates. It just beeps and it says, there's someone at your door. And so you tap that push notification and then up pops live video. You are now seeing a full screen image or video, live footage of the person at your front door. And you can decide if you want to talk to them or not. So you can kind of see what they're doing and then say, you know, can I help you or hello by using the button in our app. And so you're looking at them live video in the app. And they're hearing you and talking back to you at the front door. And so, again, they don't see you.
They don't know where you are.
You could be in Hawaii. You could be inside watching the football game or having dinner with your family. They have no idea. And so that's why we designed it, you know, like that. We didn't put a screen. You know, we don't want them to know where you are. So it gives you the ability to see who's at the door and take control over that dynamic. And we've never had that before. Like, control over the front door was just not opening it. But now you can walk people off the porch. You can convince them that you're home or not. You could never do that before. So that's why we've got the live video, and then the microphone and the speaker are on the device itself. And then we use the speaker and the microphone in your phone, just like, you know, you do when you make a phone call.
And many doors, many front doors have little doors in them. So you could open it and just look out and say, yes, you know. But the problem with that is you still have access, physical access to you.
Exactly.
That's not that safe. If they're ready to attack you or do something through that little access port. It's not as safe as it seems, but it was a better idea at the time.
That's right. It worked fine at the time, but what's nice now is, let's say you have an uncomfortable situation. Our customers will say, well, you know, say, can I help you? And then they might hear what the visitor has to say. And then they might say, well, you're being recorded. You know, it'd be great if you could, you know, walk off the porch or
show me your ID.
We're notifying the police, you know, and once a person knows they're being recorded, they don't want to continue. You know, there's a saying that once you put a security sign, like the ADT sign, on your lawn, your neighbor's homes become
safer.
they become more dangerous.
Oh.
Because that person's not going to pick your house anymore. They're going to pick your neighbor because they just don't want to deal with security cameras. And if they can prove that they broke into your house, it's not a good thing.
Do you have a big sticker business? No.
Yeah, that's phase two.
Phase two, yeah. As we have. And don't forget is they don't have to press the doorbell to have the video start. It started once it detected movement.
Yes. Yeah. I'll give you a story there. We have a hard of hearing customer in Minnesota, and he was reading in his living room, and he is completely deaf. And two guys came to his house and started trying to break in. And they didn't press the button, but the motion sensor detected them. So Skybell's motion sensor alerted our customer, and then he opens up the video stream, sees two guys trying to break into his house, and he says, I'm calling the police and you're being recorded. And they just
got out of there.
And he wrote us an email and just said, thank you. Like, these guys could have been inside my house before I even knew about it because he can't hear anything. So it's, again, those things don't happen every day. But when they do, you're very grateful for all the hard work and the sacrifice and just the relentless pursuit of making this product possible. And I think that it's helped somebody avoid a bad situation. But the situation is one thing. But then when that's over, you have anxiety forever. Like, the sanctity of your home becomes compromised. And so I think that's what I'm really happy about, is we're protecting that sanctity of the home and that sense of security and confidence people have while living in their houses. So for those couple of customers, you know, we're grateful to have helped them.
And what happens to the video after you know, is it just accumulate on your phone? What happens to it?
So we record every video session that you see on your phone onto the cloud, into your account. So you can go back later and you can watch that video or you can download it. Let's say, for example, someone stole a package off your porch, which happened 2 weeks ago before Christmas. We helped a family in Florida catch a package thief. So they used the recorded video that Skybell captured and gave it to the police, and they caught that person. So what ended up happening is they used the footage from our Skybell. They ended up putting it on the news, and then someone knew the couple and reported the couple to the authorities. So it ended up going on the news, and that helped catch this thief. So that's one story. But you know, we record all these videos in the cloud. People can go back later and watch them or download them. And then we also record what you miss. So for example, if you're in a meeting and you can't answer the door when SkyBell alerts you, we will actually record 60 seconds of video and then save it for you later. So after you get out of that meeting, you can say, oh, who was at my door? Well, you just pull up the app, you go to the history, and then you play that video and you say, oh, it was my neighbor. You know, and then you can catch up with your neighbor and find out what they came over for. You know, maybe it's, you know, a package that you've been waiting for, and you can tell your neighbor to go get it. So for different people, it's, you know, different benefit. But that's what's great about the product. It relates to a lot of different people in a lot of different ways.
Well, it's not all negative. I mean, you've got kids coming home. You want to make sure, you know, your kids came through the front door. That's a good thing.
That's right. We get that feedback quite a bit. Parents say they love the fact that SkyBell will keep them safe if they need it. But what they really do like on a daily basis is that their kid comes home from, say, kindergarten, and they press the button because they know they can talk to mommy or daddy. And so maybe they have something from show and tell, or they like to tell their parents about the artwork that they made. They can, like, show them. And so you hear that and you realize that we're entering a phase where home security is changing. It's not just call the police when someone's broken in. This whole smart home Internet of Things industry is allowing us to build connective qualities to these products. And so the things that keep you safe also keep you connected. And we're entering a world where you can have an and there. And that's what I really like. So yes, it'll keep you safe. You know, if something adverse happens, it'll alert you and let you know someone's there. But, you know, kids love it. Kids, we have one dad told us that his son calls SkyBell the bat phone because he thinks it's like this, you know, Superman thing where he can hit the button and instantly talk to his dad, who's his hero, right? And so those are the stories that I think bring more magic to a, you know, a Wi-Fi enabled video doorbell. And I think that's why, you know, we've done well, and that's why the product segment has done well.
Now, some people may recognize your name, Andrew Thomas, from the blog on Inc.com, The Mindful Entrepreneur. How did that all come about?
Yeah.
You didn't really set out to do that, did you?
I have never set out to become a writer, I'll be honest. And although now that I have that column and that voice and that platform, I'm very grateful for it. So, you know, that kind of came about because I had been through this entrepreneurial journey, which was very dynamic, and I learned a lot of things. And I wanted to start sharing what I learned, both from, you know, business tips and tricks, but also on a mental health level or an emotional level. And I started writing some columns or some articles, but just on a one-off basis. And I was able to get Inc. to publish them, or Huffington Post or Forbes, Entrepreneur. And sometimes I would write about crowdfunding. Like, we had a very successful Indiegogo campaign where we raised $600,000 for SkyBell. And I wanted to talk about that because I feel like young entrepreneurs should know that they don't have to go to a VC to get their money, and they don't have to give up 50% of their company. I think the democratization of funding is exciting, and I would write about that. Or I would write about my journey, you know, on a mental health level, or the things that I've done to become more mindful that helped me become a better entrepreneur. So I started writing those, and then, you know, I ended up talking to some of the editors there, and we talked about a full-time column, and of course I jumped at the opportunity. And now I have, you know, the ability to, you know, whatever I want, if I believe that it will help a young or aspiring entrepreneur, you know, I write about it. And that could be something like I wrote a piece on travel tips and tricks. I went around the world in 8 days for business. I went from Amsterdam to San Francisco to Melbourne to Miami and then back to San Francisco. So I talked about what I learned there. But I also wrote a piece about, you know, the ways that I handle anxiety in a highly tense, dynamic environment like entrepreneurship, you know, where you're creating something from nothing with absolutely no guaranteed outcomes, right? In the face of uncertainty. So how do you cope with that as a person, as a human being? And how do you get right with your mind so you can keep making good decisions and not fear-based decisions? So I try to cover as many things, but the theme is, you know, how does being a more mindful person help you be a better entrepreneur? And then how can I share what I've learned, the good, the bad, and the ugly? Because I don't like just painting beautiful pictures of, you know, now we're grateful to work with Comcast and Honeywell and Alarm.com and you know, Google and Nest, but it's not as glamorous as that makes it seem. So I like to talk about the nitty-gritty, the good, the bad, the ugly.
You are listening to Tech Nation from CES 2017 in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm speaking with Andrew Thomas, the co-founder and chief revenue officer for SkyBell, and author of The Mindful Entrepreneur Blog for Inc. Magazine. Of the things that I think are great messages here for either entrepreneurs or budding entrepreneurs of any age or persuasion, so many times you go through a very bad period before you can get things kicked off, and you know there's an agitation or there's an upset about the situation that they're in, besides having some good ideas or wanting to do some good things. And you were very unhappy in your job, and it's very surprising to hear you were working in search engine optimization at Google, a job that many, many people would say, oh, that would be a dream job, and why would I ever? You were very unhappy.
Yeah.
And it must have been very difficult then to shake yourself free and go.
Yeah, you know, that's sort of the story behind the story with SkyBell. You know, and my own journey was, you know, I had started my career working with Google and working on their search team. And then after that was over, I started doing SEO on the side and online marketing on the side. And that was around when I was like 24. But then what actually is I ended up becoming a financial planner because my dad was a financial planner. And I thought I was supposed to be a financial planner. So I went into it from 24 to 26. And that's when I became very unhappy with my life. I became very depressed. And I was in a relationship with somebody that was sort of a toxic relationship and very fear-based. And I wasn't living up to my full potential. And I still love technology, though. And so I would go to TechCrunch like every day and read TechCrunch. But I would always say, like, those entrepreneurs that were on TechCrunch, like, they had something that I didn't. I wasn't smart enough or good enough. I didn't have what it took. I'll never be a part of that world. And gratefully, like you said, sometimes a depression and hitting rock bottom helps you say, enough is enough. I'm turning it around, right? The anger, like, people think that they shouldn't have anxious feelings or angry feelings. Sometimes anger is the fuel you need to change, right? And so that awakened me and said, you need to turn this around. And so I spent 2 years from 26 to 28, you know, changing my mindset, learning about the power of thought, intention, law of attraction, meditation, all of these different things. And then I set an intention that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. And it was around 3 or 4 months later that Joe, my co-founder now, comes to me and says, I have this idea for a video doorbell. I want you to come make it with me. And I was 28. I was like, this is exactly what I've been intending. And the 6 months before that, I read every entrepreneur book I could get a hold of. I just knew I was going to be an entrepreneur. And this idea falls into my lap. That was in May of 2013. And so in June, we started the company. In August, 2 months later, we started the Indiegogo campaign. And I just dove in. I said, to heck with fear. We could totally fail. I'm going to put my face all over this Indiegogo campaign. It's going to be super public and it could fail. But you know what? Let's live some life. Like, let's go for this. And you know, what's the worst that could happen? And so we go, we hit submit on the campaign, and then I went surfing and I come back. We'd only made like $500. And I was like, oh boy, this isn't going to work. Like, maybe I should pack it in now. And then we go to bed, and the next day, you know, we've got a couple thousand dollars in there, and then Engadget covered us. And then it started popping. And then 2 days later, I look and we're at like $50,000. And I'm like, what happened? And I saw an article that mentioned my name and SkyBell in our Indiegogo campaign. And the name of that domain said TechCrunch. And so to go from like being depressed in an office and doing a job I hated, dreaming of like, or not even dreaming of TechCrunch, just saying I'm not part of that world. It's not possible.
I'm on the outside looking in.
Exactly. And then to change my mindset, get everything right, intend to do it. And then on the third day of this campaign, my name is on TechCrunch. And it just gave me chills. And that was a big moment for me. And then from there, the campaign just snowballed. So a Fast Company picked it up. They called us an Indiegogo sensation because we had hit $100,000 in about 5 days, I think it was 6 days. We ultimately raised $600,000. And that money was so important for us because nobody wanted to give us investment on a doorbell idea. Like, you guys are crazy. And the smart home was getting popular, but they're like, if you don't own the whole hub, we don't want to invest in you. And this is a crazy doorbell idea. Well, we went to Indiegogo. 4,000 people bought one before it even existed. We used that money, created the product, and then shipped it. And the rest is now history. So 3 years after that, here we are. And it's just been the most incredible journey to think that, you know, 6 years ago, again, I was, you know, not living up to my true self and was pretty depressed. And now, you know, you still have like a lot of thoughts and you got to keep your mind right. It's always something you got to work on.
See that. I saw that again and again throughout your story as you tell it. One thing that I'll have students or I'll have colleagues of, you know, just any age, and they'll say, oh, I have an idea. And I'll say, oh, well, that actually is sort of like, so, oh, it's been done. They give up before they even start. There's another entry in this space that people would, you know, note. It's called Ring. And, it, you know, as with any space, there are numerous products or sets of products. You're just looking for product share. Mm-hmm. You don't say, let's go home if we don't get every doorbell in the world.
That's right.
You know, and so, and we can talk to the Ring people. You can look online and see all this.
Yeah.
It's like, if you could talk about, when did Ring come into your sort of perception, your mind, and mm-hmm. how did you react to it knowing there was a competitor? And when you see other competitors, how did you react? How do you react?
Yeah, you know, it's part of the story, right? So when we had started, we did our research there, we didn't find them. And I guess they had organized and they were kind of in stealth mode. But we looked at the patent office. There wasn't a lot of IP around this. So we actually filed 63 patents. We have 63 issued patents in this space. So it was kind of blue sky. And as we dove in, we did the Indiegogo campaign. And then I think it was like 2 months after, we ended up finding, they were called DoorBot at the time. We ended up finding that this entity that was also making a video doorbell. And so then it just became a race, right? And it's kind of sometimes helpful to have somebody to kind of compete against and to peg against. And so
it's really uncomfortable and you really have to work hard.
But
it's like it's having a training partner.
You're exactly right. I mean, my younger brother is a better athlete than I am because he was pegging against me the whole time, right? And so it's kind of like that thing where competition, a healthy competition makes you become a better product, a better entrepreneur, work harder. But my approach, how do you deal with it? I mean, it goes back to the mindset, right? It's that idea that there's 130 million homes in the United States. And I get up every day because I love creating things, going from nothing to something, like we talked about earlier. But I also love this idea that this product makes a home safer. And if we can get enough on there, it makes a whole community safer. And if we can make communities safer, we can make cities safer. And if that happens, we're eradicating crime. So when my competitor goes and sells a unit, yes, technically that doesn't hit our, you know, revenue, but I don't care. Like my goal and part of this whole project is making communities safer. That home is now safer. Doesn't have my doorbell on it, but I don't really care. There's enough out there. So I don't want to live in a world that is finite, right? Zero sum. I want to live in a world where there's abundance and like there's enough for multiple people to create the lives that they want. So that's how I kind of approach competition. On a strategic level, though, you do want to know what they're doing. You want to think about the market and how it's changing. And so Ring went a direction of more B2C marketing, and we decided that our strengths—
business to consumer.
Yes.
So they're doing a lot of efforts in that. But your strengths are?
They sell in Best Buy, and they run a ton of commercials and stuff. But we're better at product, building product and platform. Right. And so we go B2B, which is business to business. So our customers are actually big home security companies like Honeywell or Alarm.com. And so we went that route. So you can coexist. You know, there's something like, 20 car companies. There's Apple, there's Samsung, there's Google. I mean, when you start getting too much, if you give too much meaning and power to your competitor, you've already lost the game. And the other great thing I think that you mentioned is aspiring entrepreneurs should realize that an idea is only one part of it. It's execution. And so just because someone has an idea or maybe has started a little bit doesn't mean that they're going to succeed. It doesn't mean that you can't do it better. It also doesn't mean that once you start, you can't recognize another opportunity you didn't see that you only see because you got to where you were, right? So progress in one direction might open up another avenue. That might even be a better business. So sometimes you got to just go for it. And if your intuition says go for it, you feel worthy and just give it a shot. Because honestly, if it fails, it fails. And you can go try something else. And I just like the idea that when I was trying to be an entrepreneur, I tried to think of ideas. And a lot of them had already been done. But the statement, the mental thought you can't have is, I'm stupid because I thought about something that's already been done. It's got to be like, that was a good idea. I'll think of another one. Right? That's the new thought process. You know, ideas keep coming to me. That's the mantra. So if someone's out there listening and they're always frustrated, don't be frustrated. It means you've got a good brain. Like, you're thinking the right way. Keep going. Ask for another idea. You'll get it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. And of course, you know, it always gets back to the doorbell. I said, your chief revenue officer. And you know, yeah, you might call me the, you know, the door ringer. And it's like, I just got that. Andrew.
It's a fancy way of saying doorbell.
You'll ring any doorbell, even if it's not yours.
Exactly right. Yeah, I mean, I think we joke around and say I'm really chief revenue officer is a fancy way of just saying a doorbell salesman, right? But, you know, it's fun. I do a lot of our big partnerships. So, we announced with Comcast Xfinity Home last May and an announcement there, Nest Pro, Amazon Echo, we have integrations with, and then we have the commercial agreements with Honeywell and Alarm.com. And so that's been focuses on the business development, which, you know, I'm grateful that that's sort of my role within our group. We've got a couple of really great founders, and that's just my role. So
you don't look depressed to me.
No.
Things worked out. Andrew, always a pleasure. Please come back and see us again.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, I know I said always a pleasure, and I just met Andrew this morning in the coffee line. Well, it was a pleasure. Andrew Thomas is the co-founder and chief revenue officer for Skybell, and author of the Mindful Entrepreneur blog for Inc. magazine. Skybell technologies are currently installed in 53 countries. More information is available on the web at skybell.com. We'd also like to thank our interview guest, Jim Berry, the spokesperson for the Consumer Technology Association, as well as Jeff Joseph, Senior Vice President for Communications, Jamie Lilly, and the press support team for CES 2017. Additional kudos must go to Kevin O'Malley and Christy Dames of Tech Talk Studio. Finally, full acknowledgments must go to our traveling production crew, senior producer Nicole Hamilton and audio engineer Larry Upton. From Las Vegas, Nevada and CES 2017, for TechNation, I'm Moira Gunn.
Tech Nation and its regular segment Biotech Nation are produced at the studios of KQED-FM in San Francisco. Executive producer is Matt Gardner. The director of technical production is Monte Carlos. And audio engineers include Howard Gelman, Seal Muller, and Larry Upton. Our theme music was composed by Ann Nachtrieb-Zesiger and Robert Powell, with title creation provided by NameLab Incorporated of San Francisco. Program information and internet audio is available on the web at technation.com. Tech Nation and Biotech Nation are productions of Tech Nation Media. I'm Paul Landcore.